All right, well, guess what I'm talking about today?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Okay, that's a good guess. Yeah, it's a start. Uh-huh. Not grace, though. Well, kind of. Because, you know, because I was sitting here thinking about it. This is all grace, you know, about grace. And I'm talking about grace. No, I'm talking about courage. But grace is actually what gives us the courage to do a lot of the stuff we need to do.
Amen.
Because we know that we can't really screw it up too bad because God's forgive us anyway. And so it's like it gives us this boldness to go out and do what we need to. And, you know, one of the things about courage, I may remember the movie Back to the Future. Okay? What was Marty McFly's problem? Huh? Which one? No, if you remember, what got him into trouble? People would say, "You chicken." And he got in the car wreck. He had all those things. All through all the series, they always used the same flaw that they would call him a chicken. And then he would have to do what they said. Now, when you were a kid, how many times did you get into trouble or have people say, "If you don't do it, you're chicken"? Or, "I dare you to do this. I double dare you to do it." Double dog dare you, yeah. And you know, the thing is this, you get there, and how many times did we do stupid stuff?
All the time.
And we haven't stopped. And you know, and we keep doing this stuff. And it's like, because we don't want to appear to be chicken. You know, and there's that saying, you know, he who turns and runs away lives to run another day. You bet. I used that a lot, you know, because it was like I was a skinny little thing, and people would threaten to beat me up. It's like, that's a threat, you know. It doesn't take a whole lot, and so we get into that thing. But you know, I want to talk a bit about courage because it takes courage to make a difference in the world. And you know, we how many of you have these things where you want to be a hero? You ever go along and you think of a situation and it's like, oh, you, when we think of heroes, we think of what? From the movies, people running into burning buildings to save the kid. You know, putting themselves in all kinds of perilous situations to be a hero. You know, but that isn't what a hero is. I mean, that is, but that's not all that it is. Heroes are everyday people that do things that require courage. And courage, we need courage for everything in life. You got up this morning. You need courage to go through life because you're going to run into situations. You're going to run into those people who say to you, maybe not using the same words, but if you don't do it, you're chicken. And we're going to fall prey to that all the time. And we have to not do that, okay? And we can only change the world if we're changed people. You can't change the world by going with the flow and swimming downstream. Because if you're just going along with everything else going to be there, you're really not going to make a difference or a change in the world, okay? Now, Kay and Karina, come here. They didn't know about this.
Surprise!
Surprise! I love to do that. Now.
It's a good thing we trust you.
Yeah. There's a fool born every minute, isn't there? Okay. Now, Kay and Karina. Do they have courage?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Why? How do we know that?
Because they step out in faith.
Because they walk down the aisle. Okay. Yeah. How long have you been doing Tuesday night? A couple of years?
A year and a half.
Year and a half? You know, the Spirit said, start doing Tuesday night worship. So they did. And they came to me and I said, go for it. You know? So they have to put it together. Now, if like Tuesday they were out of town, you're stuck with me again. But, you know, normally they're here. But also, they just got back from a conference at Long Beach.
Amen.
Okay? And, you know, we were going to talk about this a little later, but I'm talking about it now. Tough luck.
All right.
Okay? They made a commitment at Long Beach. What is it?
Another mission trip?
Another mission trip. This will be their third. Okay? There'll be the one mission trip to Australia come February. And not only did they, you know, volunteer to go along and pay the way, you know, they're helping to put the whole thing together, airfares, air flights, rearrangements, all that stuff. And so that takes courage. But the other part of that is when you commit to those things, it costs bucks. You know, about 5,000 of them. Okay, that's a big time commitment. Kay's going to be working overtime. Okay? And started yesterday. But takes courage to make that commitment that says, I'm going to do this. And to trust God that it's going to happen. Okay? Now, later on, we're going to put a challenge out to us as a group to participate in that. Because part of being a congregation is not just how many people we can put in the pews. I mean, we can put your butts in the pews and nothing happens. Other than they get sore from me talking too long. And, you know, all that. But part of our responsibility as believers is to send people out.
Amen.
Okay? To send them out to do things and accomplish stuff. Last year, you went to Japan, to Mexico? 2 years ago to Mexico. And 2 years ago to Taiwan. We went to Taiwan 2 years ago. Yeah. And so, you know, and having been on one of those trips, I can tell you, it's a great experience. Gary, last year when he was down in Long Beach, came back and he gave the report that Janet said some people had walked into the church and they asked him, why are you here? And they said, 2 years ago, some Caucasians were here. Taiwan. Yeah, in Taiwan. I mean, yeah. Some Caucasians were here and we talked to them. 2 years later, they show up at church. And they walk in. So, you know, God just got all kinds of plans, but it takes courage. And we have to be willing to put ourselves out there to have people say stuff about us. We have to be willing. The thing that Marty McFly finally did, he said, wait a minute, this is stupid. I don't care what that idiot says. And so when we face things in this world, we need to have the courage to say, I don't care what they say. It doesn't matter. Back in 78, when I came out, my boss called me and she says, you know, you're a social reject, because I came out in 1978 when nobody came out hardly. And I said, you know what? That's your problem, not mine. Because that's what the Lord had told me. And it was like, what? It's like, I shifted the responsibility from me to her and said, that's your problem, not mine. We have to be willing to do that. When people make fun or they say things or they do things, we have to be able to shift the responsibility and say, you know what? That's your problem, not mine. If you don't like what I believe, it's your problem, not mine. Okay? And so in John 16:33, it says, in the world you will have hardships, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. Now, there's a word. There's a couple of words there that are underlined. Be courageous. But just before that, there's a promise. You will have hardships. That's part of this life. We live in a fallen world. Crappy things happen. You know? But it says, have courage. I've conquered the world. That's where the grace comes in. We're covered by the blanket of grace. So we do stuff for the Lord and we screw up. Hey, you tried. You know, you didn't just sit there, okay? Excuse me. John 1:8 says, now there are some ways that we can live courageously, okay? Courageously. Number one is we have to own up to our own shortcomings. Now, I put to my own shortcomings there on purpose because the next scripture says in John 1:8, if you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, when we think of the word sin, we think of adultery, fornication, all those, you know, wonderful things. But what, if you go back and you look up sin, which I did this week, it has all, the word that's translated sin has all kinds of different variations off different directions. But the main focus or the theme of it is to miss the mark. Like an archer misses the mark. And so that's the point. So I used to change my own shortcomings because that's one of them. But it's a lot of them. And how many times in our lives do we miss the mark? A lot. A lot. Do I pray as much as I need to, as I should? No. Missed the mark. Do I study as much as I need to and should? No, I missed the mark. Did I eat breakfast? Yep, got that one. You know? And so we miss the mark in all kinds of different ways. You know, I can say something rude to one of you. Or, you know, I can be stressed and act rude. And I miss the mark. I don't show the love and the kindness. Okay? And so what it's saying in there is, you know, we need to look at ourselves. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, God was always saying, look at yourself. Don't look at them. They're not the problem. You are. I'm telling you to go into the promised land, and you're the ones that are saying no. You know, I'm calling you to do this. You're the one that's hesitating. And so in the Old Testament, it was always saying do that. And one of Jesus' parables, what did he say? If you want to take the speck of dust out of Sean's eye, I got to get the beam out of my own first so that I can see clearly to get that speck. Okay? And so he's saying, you know, you got to do that, you know? And a lot of times, again, we get into that thing where we're afraid of what somebody might think. And it says that we're to confess our sins. In Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Well, we're afraid of that. Because we're afraid of what somebody's going to think about us. Well, they'll think this. They probably do anyway. You know, or, like, who was the guy? I can't remember his name. It just slipped my brain. But he said, if you knew how seldom people think about you, you wouldn't worry so much about what they do. You know, because they don't really think about it, about you. As much as we think they do. And a lot of times, you know, you'll see these people, they're acting really macho and all of this stuff. Or they're really homophobic. They're covering up their own fears. It's just a display of their own fears and what they're doing. And so, you know, but we get afraid. We hate to admit that we have a weakness. We hate that. You know, but, you know, it's okay. Because it's okay to say, you know what? These are my strengths. And these are my weaknesses. This is what I'm good at. And not so good over here. I can do this really well. But I can't sing. Okay? So we get into those things. And we try to do it. And we try to get, you know, pretend that we don't have those. But in James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Amen. Okay? And people who really want to make a difference, they have to step out in courage.
That's right.
You have to do it in courage. And you know, the thing of it is, if you can't live it, I mean, you got to live it. You can't just pretend not to. Okay, there's no such thing as a cowardly Christian, but you know, people who make it, who have that courage, step out and they make a difference. Now, people who fake it, they'll only last for so long, and then you start seeing through it.
Amen.
You start seeing through it and go from there. Okay, secondly, you got to stand up for what's right. Got to stand up for what's right. And 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. Okay? Now, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Now, we can say that, but some people will say, well, you're really narrow-minded. It's like, no, that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Okay? And so we need to stand up for that. Ezekiel 3:18, if you don't speak out to warn the evil person to leave his evil way, he will die in his sin, but you will be held responsible for his death. Oh, that sounds scary, doesn't it? So if I don't tell Sean what he's doing wrong, I'm held responsible. Who was responsible for the Holocaust? Hitler. And the people who didn't do anything about it, who just willingly float along with the flow. Okay? It takes two to tango, or to tangle, you know. And so you get into that, and you know, we often say, well, you know, I know this is wrong, but, and we look at ourselves and say, who am I to say anything about it? Well, you know what? If somebody's really your friend, and you see them doing something that's really stupid, what kind of a friend are you if you don't say something? If you have a friend that's getting involved in drugs and you don't say something, what kind of friend are you? Well, it's not my place to say anything. Well, it is. It is. They might end up down that path that they don't want to be there. Proverbs 14, 12 and 13 says, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. We're not stupid. We know when something's good for you and when it's not. We really do. And there's a lot of times we need to look at the mirror. Like I say, again, we need to look in the mirror first and say, get it together, buddy or sister. Okay? In Psalms 119, 41 through 46. And that's pretty big, isn't it? Tell me your truth, and I'll stand up to the mockery. I'll stand up to what people say. Call me a Jesus freak. I don't care. I'll be as freaky as you want to be. Woo-hoo! Oh, she's worse. Okay. All right. But it says, you know, I'll stand up to the mocking. It's okay. I'll stand up to that. And then at the end it says what? I'll tell the world what I found. Speak out boldly in public. Unembarrassed. Unembarrassed. When we were in Taiwan, we went down to this public place, turned on a thing and danced. And invited people walking by to join us. A lot of people thought we were just nuts. But you know what? Some of them came and danced with us. And had fun. One little old, I mean, this little, she was not a spring chicken. But she was out there doing the dances with us. She was having a good time. You know? And there we were, in a public, you know, a public place. Now, most of us, we would go, there ain't no way. But other people in the group put together a little play that they did about relationships. And we handed out tracts. Now, I mentioned this before, but the tracts that we handed out were cut out of construction paper. And they were hearts, and they had scriptures on them. Glued. Or sometimes written on the construction paper, stapled together. Now, in this country, if we were down at Pride Day and somebody handed that to the people, they'd look at it and go, cheesy. And you'd find them all over on the ground in the trash and everything. But when I walked around to get lunch and stuff like that, I looked for them. I looked for them on the ground. I looked for them all over. One thing in Taiwan, though, you didn't see a lot of people throwing trash on the ground. It didn't happen. So I went and looked in the garbage cans. They weren't there. They took them home. And that might be part of those people that 2 years later talked to some Caucasians. And it was funny because I mentioned I was over there. And one time this couple, young couple comes up and she goes, can I have my picture taken with you? Sure. And so she stands like this. I got my arm around her. She got her arm around me. And her boyfriend's taking the picture. They thank you. And off they go. And it's like, okay, that's a little strange. No? But you have to have the courage to stand out in public. Now, when Kay and Karina go down to Australia, in February, part of what they're going to be doing is a workshop and a conference and stuff down there. They'll be help putting it together, organizing it, all that kind of stuff. Again, a public thing. And that's what it says here in Psalms. You know, I'm not going to be embarrassed to say it out in public. And you look in the scriptures, some of the prophets back then were called to walk around naked for 2 years.
Couldn't do it, Pastor.
So. Thank you. Please don't. You know? I mean, it's like one of those things. It's like, whoa, man, you know? And it's just, okay? Next, we're supposed to speak up for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we're believers, isn't it? If Jesus doesn't make any difference in your life, are you really a believer? Speak up for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. For we do not preach ourselves. We don't preach ourselves.
Amen.
Because we have nothing really to offer. There's a story one time about a drunk that came up to John Moody. And he said, you know, I'm one of your converts. And he said, yeah, you probably are. Because if you're a Christ, you wouldn't be this way. Because in me, there's no power. There's no effect. Okay? So we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Now, I did make a mistake when I read that. I said, speak up for Jesus, the Christ.
Amen.
Now, I put the Christ on there because Christ is not Jesus' last name.
Lord.
People make that mistake all the time. It's the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. Okay? I just want to make that difference because he is the chosen one. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:8. Don't be ashamed to tell people about our Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, it says don't be ashamed to tell people. But you might say, but I don't know enough. Really? Do you know enough to say, Jesus is Lord, and God. Jesus loves me,
Amen.
And God has a plan for my life.
Amen.
Now, God, Jesus loves me, and God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
That's all you need to know. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, it's not rocket science. Now, Vince was telling a story the other day about something like that, and somebody, it's not rocket science, and the guy goes, I am a rocket scientist. You know? Well, if that case, okay, make it that way. But, you know, it's like, all right, you know. But, you know, it's not difficult. And it's synergy. Part of the focus was spiritual conversations. Just carrying on a simple spiritual conversation with the person you meet.
Amen.
And you talk to. Okay? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. You will not argue anybody into heaven. And you won't get them there with a baseball bat. It's not going to work. Gentleness. Yeah, especially don't bash them on the head with that. Because too many people do that. They use the scriptures as clubs. And they're love letters.
Amen.
Okay, they're love letters. Okay? And you know what? You say, well, I don't know enough. Then do it by your life. What's his name? Francis, I can't remember what his name is now, but he says, if you can't preach the gospel, live it. You know, if all else fails, use words. And you can do that by just watching. And you see somebody in distress, you stop them, help them.
Amen.
Bill Hybels in his book talks about walking across the room and the power of a whisper. Talks about how in his life, he committed that, Lord, you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And he warns, if you make that commitment, be prepared. Because then he goes on and talks about how many times God put him in a situation where he had to talk to somebody. He didn't always want to do it. It wasn't always the right time for him. But the Spirit would chastise me and say, go help this old lady. And it's like, but did you make a promise or not? Okay, how can I help you, ma'am? Well, I need to get in that store and I can't get across this ice. Well, I'll have to lift you over. Okay, go for it, Sonny. So he picks her up and puts her on the other side. His responsibility was done. That's what the Spirit told him to do.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, that's what the Spirit told him to do. But he always, it's always with gentleness and respect. You may not agree with the other person. That's okay. You respect him. You respect them. So how do we build our courage? First one's really easy. Go public through baptism. Now for us, hey, no big deal. Go down and get dunked in some water. No? Not that easy. Yeah, it's easy for us. But back in the time when Paul wrote this, it's part in Galatians 3:27, your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe, Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. Now, he's writing to the Galatians. In his time, when you were baptized, it was people knew that, one or two things. You're either becoming Jewish or you're becoming a Christian. Because the Jewish people, the faith baptized people into their faith. But if you're becoming a Christian, Christianity at that time was not popular. And so you could be persecuted. You could be put to death for it. So that public statement had a lot of weight behind it. For us today, it's not. It's usually held in a church building on the corner in a room downstairs in the basement in a font with the water running and nice warm clothes and white robes and all that stuff. It's not so public. But back then, they were baptized in the rivers and ponds and streams and wherever they could find the water. Okay? So back for them, it was a bigger deal. For us, it's more of an internal thing here, declaring to them. It's like when you become a member of the church. When Pam and Philip and them became members of the church, I made them come up here and stand in front. It was a public thing. Okay? Second, pray for boldness. Pray for boldness.
Amen.
Okay? And if you look at the front of your bulletin, when I picked it, going through picking out the bulletins. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Power, love, and sound judgment. Okay? God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. When Jesus was leaving, what did he say? Go back to Jerusalem, hang out, and you'll get the gift that Father promised, and you will have power to do all these things. They had it before. He sent him out before and said, go out and heal the sick. Now, don't take anything with you. Just, you know, trust me. Go out and do it. And then they come back and say, did you lack for anything? And they mm-mm. Did you lack for anything? No. No, didn't lack for a thing. Okay? That's why we have this part on the prayer cards. The prayer request part. Because prayer works. Put your prayer request, put it in there, give it to God. But in here, pray for power. And this is really a cool, Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, shows that even Paul had to pray for himself to have power. Paul wasn't a shy person. Paul was not a shy person, okay? Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel of which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may deliver it fearlessly as I should. This is Paul, who got stoned for preaching the gospel. Who got whipped and beat for preaching the gospel. He's in prison. He's saying, pray for me, but I'll do this boldly. Amen. Without fear. Amen. Because we need that in our lives. We need that boldness. to do it. Now, does that mean we're going to stand up and yell on the bus? No. You know? Sort of. Bless you, Kelly. You know? Kelly airs anywhere. No. You know? But 99.9% of the time, 9.999% of the time, you know, it's going to be, boldness doesn't mean loud. Boldness doesn't mean in your face. Boldness means that you go out and do something. Now, by that, does that mean that you're never going to be afraid? No. No. Because you know what? If it doesn't scare you, you don't need courage. Do you need courage to eat breakfast? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Did it take courage to come and eat? If it doesn't scare you a little bit, you don't need the courage to do it. So just because you have courage, but praying for courage and getting courage, doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid, that you're not going to be trembling, you're not going to be a little shaky on the inside. Because if you're not, you don't need courage. You don't need courage to brush your teeth. It's not going to happen. But we need that boldness to go out, and we need the courage to do it, because inside, we get all trembly a little bit, and we get afraid, okay? So we need to pray for that boldness. And Paul, as bold as he was, prayed for boldness. And then number three is this.
Kind of a hot day.
You think?
Yeah.
So hot. Oh.
Woo! What? Like 3 months and no rain is called a drought, right?
That's what I'm saying. Oh.
That is right. Now, what are we doing out here?
Oh, okay, guys. I just thought we should meet and pray for rain.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt.
Hey, great. Come on. So, get on with it, man.
Okay, so join hands. Okay. Prayer works better that way.
Okay.
No, I got air conditioning
all right.
here.
All right. Dear God,
oh, Lord,
if you could just please make it rain.
Oh, yes. Please.
And bring something cold to drink.
Oh, like water.
Remember Noah, because it's so hot.
Yes, it is.
Water, please.
Amen.
Amen.
I think that went well.
Amen. I pitted out a perfectly good trip for a 10-second prayer.
Thanks for coming out. Okay. I'll see you at the Bible study, Drew.
I'm out of here.
Okay. What are you doing?
Oh, waiting for the rain.
Laura, take a look up there. I want you to see that there's just a blue sky with
right.
no clouds. I think that means no rain.
Right.
Remember, we just prayed about this. So.
Oh, I know. We just prayed for rain. So, you know, the clouds are going to come and then it's going to rain and you're going to get wet.
Are you new to this whole praying thing?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Well, let me explain this to you. I wouldn't be counting on the rain.
Oh. Well, maybe it's not the rain you should be counting on.
Amen.
What'd you get out of that? Yeah, don't be counting on the rain. Expect God to use you. If God calls you to go do something, expect God to use you. You're sitting here because you're a believer. Expect God to use you.
Amen.
And I love that because it's like you pray for something and then it's like go off and walk in complete doubt. And don't expect it to happen. I love that. I mean, she goes and gets her umbrella. When Elijah prayed for rain, there were no clouds in the sky. What did he say to his servant? Go look and see what you see. And he came back and said, there's nothing. Go look again. Oh, nothing. What is it? Nothing. Go look again. Finally, he comes back and he says, well, there's one little cloud about the size of your fist. Hallelujah, the rain's coming. And it did. It did. So if you're going to get involved in something, you're going to get involved in a ministry, expect God to use you.
Amen.
And God created every one of you different. So the ministry you have is going to be different. The ministry you're going to be involved in, the mission work you're going to be involved in is different. Commitment levels are going to be different. Should they be? No. If you're committed, be committed. Don't go at it half-heartedly. You know? And so, you know, the next part is in Philippians 1:20, it says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That's a good prayer. Now, you've all got your little bulletins. I would encourage you to go home, cut that out, and put it someplace where you can see it as a reminder. I am eagerly expectant and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul's saying, it doesn't matter if I live or if I die.
That's right.
As long as it brings glory to God. I'm in prison as a servant. And I expect to be used by God. Have that courage. Expect to be used. Make up your mind of what's going on in your life. Okay? One of the problems that agnostics has, they don't decide. Can't decide if there's a God or not. Okay? Joshua 1:9. This is God talking to Joshua. Joshua's 80 years old, by the way, when this was written to him. Excuse me. When this was given to Joshua, he was 80 years old. And he was being told, okay, it's time to go take the promised land. You're going to lead him into battle. I'm 65. I think about leading somebody into battle with swords and stuff, and I go,
what? You're kidding me, right?
Can I hit my snooze alarm for a little more here? You know? But Joshua says, and God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord your God will be where? With you wherever you go. That's a pretty big promise. And what does Scripture say? If God is for us, who can be against us? We walk in fear too often. Like I said, fear, courage isn't a lack of fear. It's doing it in spite of. Be courageous. Go forward. Okay? Number 4. With all that's going on in the world, it's really easy to get discouraged. We look at the financial stuff in the world. It sucks. We look at all the situations, the wars, all the stuff that's going on, different things. It's really easy to get discouraged. But number 4, remember the end of the story. You've got the word. You've read it, right? Yes. You're reading it. Yes. If you don't have one, take it home. Read it. That's why we put them out there. This is a full Bible. The little thin ones are short, or the New Testament. Oop, that's upside down. Sorry. Okay? This is God's story. And it's ours.
Amen.
Okay? We know the end of the story. What? Life hasn't stopped yet. I know. But God told us the end. 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the cross. What were his final word? It is finished. Not it's going to be. It is. He paid the price all the stuff that we, junky stuff we do, that separates us from God. It's taken care of. The only thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes back is clean house. Sweep out the cracks. Clean up. There's not a big battle ahead. That's already been won. Let me clean up the cracks. It's finished. We know the end of the story. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, it's done. Satan wants to mess up your life now just because he can. But when that day comes,
he's history.
Yeah, he's history. You know, we read in the scripture, it talks about putting on the full armor of God.
Amen.
Now. Not then, because Satan's not going to be in heaven in that time. So you aren't going to need the armor. It'll be wasted clothing. My guess is we're all going to be naked. God made us that way in the garden. Why not? We're the ones that make a hang up of it. You know? But we know the end of the story. And Jesus said from the cross, it's finished, it's done. It's an accountant statement. It means paid in full. So don't forget, in all of this, we know the end of the story. But we can get sidetracked way too easy. Okay? In James 5:8, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. You go, but I'm only 23 years old. And you're 65. You're ancient. I'm young. And, you know, when you were 23, didn't 65 seem like a really old?
Yes.
Old. Yeah, 30 was old, you know? You know, I can tell you, looking back at now from 65, it's like, where did life go? What happened? And it's all in the perspective. And I look at some people and go, gee, she was only 70 and she died. You know? But it says coming soon. But if you put it in perspective of whole of eternity, even if you live to be 100, 1,000 years from now, it's just a moment. And you look back and go, wow, that was only 100 years? Now, be patient. But we have to remember that this is a preparation for the next life, our walk with Christ. And we have to be bold. We have to be courageous. Luke 9:26 says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. We can't walk in that fear. Don't ever be intimidated by anybody who's a non-believer.
Amen.
Or who says that Christianity is for weaklings. Really? Really? Yeah, it means they definitely don't understand it. And you know what? I look at an atheist and I go, you know, that person has to have more faith than I do. Because I look around at creation and I look at the miracles.
Amen.
And I look at those and it's like, I believe them. It would take more faith for me to believe that this is all just a big accident. And that you're just the byproduct of pond scum. I can't do it. Sorry. I can't do it. I've been in the medical field too long and seen too many miracles happen. It just, no. It doesn't happen that way. So I challenge you. I dare you. Ha-ha. I double dog dare you. To make a difference.
Amen.
Find out what God created you for, what God shaped you for, why you're put together the way you are. Because the way God puts you together, that's going to determine your ministry and your mission in life.
Amen.
And so I double dog dare you to find out, what is it? Why are you built the way you are? Why are you wired the way you are? You know? Find out why. And then you'll know where God's going to work with you. But dare to make a difference in the world. Dare to go to Australia. Dare to make a commitment to go.
Amen.
That's pretty scary sometimes. But that's the challenge. Have the courage to step out and do something. Too often we sit on our derrieres and do nothing. You know, why does this church exist? Why? Because Troy Perry dared to step out. There he was, his old homo in Los Angeles. His boyfriend had dumped him. His boyfriend had become his god. And he dumped him. And so he tried to commit suicide. And he says he was down there and on the stretcher. And the nurse came in and basically just beat the crap out of him. He said, get it together. God has a purpose for your life. Go do it. And he got out and he ran an ad in The Advocate. Advocate was one of the first gay magazines, which, I have a little story with that. Just sidetrack here. The Advocate was the gay magazine that came out years ago. Guess where it was printed? Right here in Salt Lake. Uh-huh. Yeah, on the LDS Church's printing presses. They didn't know it. But the guy who was printing it worked for them, and they let you print stuff, you know, as long as you brought the materials. So that's where The Advocate was printed for the first few years. But anyway, Troy ran an ad in the paper, holding a religious service, church service, for believers, my house, this date, this time. 12 people showed up. 11 men and a woman. And they held the first meeting. That was in October of 1968. When was this one? When was this church started?
72.
January the 4th, 1972. So in just a few months, we're going to celebrate our 40 years here in Salt Lake City. Yeah, because a little group of homos decided that Salt Lake needed to have a church. And so they started it. Troy came, spoke at the service. Yeah. We were one of the first, like, 15 churches in America.
January 4th is also Utah's anniversary of becoming a state.
Oh, well, see? God has a sense of humor. Yeah. But this church is here because somebody had the guts to do it. Did they meet opposition? Oh, yeah. When we bought this building, it was broken into a few times. Guess what they stole? The membership roster. So Bruce got smart. He took the membership roster and put it in the budget folder. Nobody looked in there. So what did he put in the membership folder? The local LDS Ward's Elders Quorum list. Didn't get broken into after that. Okay? But even this building, they stepped out in faith. Couldn't get a loan on it. So members made a commitment. Another ironic part of this. They bought this from the Pillar of Fire, the denomination that kicked Troy Perry out. Kind of funny. It's like, okay. So we bought it. Did a bond sale. Now we own it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because somebody stepped out in faith. We have a furnace downstairs. Because one day, it was cold. And it's like, and inefficient. That little hole over there, the heat just kind of rose up through it slowly. So if you wanted it warm for Sunday service, you turned it on Sunday before you left. And it might be warm for Sunday. You were here. And so one day we went, you know what? We need a furnace. We can either buy the furnace or we can make a building payment. We bought the furnace. Then we stood up that Sunday and said, guess what? We needed a furnace. We bought it. We don't have the money for the building payment. Biggest offering we ever got in the life.
That's right.
at that time. Stepped out in faith. Took the courage to do it. And you know, there's all kinds of different stories of different people that have done different things in this congregation. Because somebody stepped out in courage. You know where Utah's first Pride Day festivities were planned? Right here. Right here, downstairs in that corner. A couple of years ago, we were at Pride Day. We had our booth set up, and somebody said, "What's that church doing invading our celebration?" So, excuse me. You don't know history very well, do you? First festivities were planned right here in our building by that church. The first Pride Day parade in Los Angeles to honor the drag queens of Stonewall was put together by Troy Perry. Somebody who had the courage to step out and say, "Hey, Jesus is for everyone." So now the challenge is yours again. What are you going to do? Do you have the courage to find out what that is? Do you have the courage to do it? Big challenge. So let's recap real quickly. Okay. I become courageous by what? Owning up to my own shortcomings. Standing up for what's right. Speaking up for Jesus. Now, standing up for what's right. Is there going to be a cost? Yeah. We went and talked to the city council one time because they were going to repeal an anti-discrimination code thing that they had passed. So we went down to the city council. We filled out the little card. There were 210 of us. I thought, yeah, they're going to plop 4 or 5. No, everybody got to spike to the city council. I was number 8. Yeah. Guess who ended up on the 10 o'clock news? Yeah. Everybody worked on, saw you on television last night. Okay, thanks. But it's worth it. Didn't bother me. I was already out, but you know. It's worth it. You're here. Because a nurse stimulated Troy Perry and said, "Get it together." Well, Jesus is saying that to us. Get it together. Will you do it? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you for putting courage in our lives, making it available. For, you know, you told us that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and strength and courage. We thank you for that, Lord. It gives us that boldness to stand up and declare that, you know, you love us and you care about us. And you sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we can have that right relationship with you. And Lord, yeah, it can get scary, but you're not afraid. You're not afraid. And your spirit lives within us. And even though we get afraid, Lord, your spirit moves us on and gives us that power to do those things. And so, Lord, help us meet the challenge that you give us to do ministry, and to be the people you want us to be. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.